You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Friday, March 17th. That's St. Patrick's Day, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside Fantasy Executive Corey Parson and Matty Modica, I am Greg Sussman. 2 more hours to go, gentlemen. And it's a weekend.
Yeah, I still got other stuff to do today. You know what I mean? So it's not really the weekend. We're really just getting things started today. So, you brought the thing in here.
Yeah, I brought the
thing. Good job.
Thank you. What's going on, Matt?
It's Friday, and I'm feeling strong today. You know, let's get this weekend started.
Big St. Patrick's Day today?
I got some corned beef and cabbage last night with Mom's.
There you go.
You know, we went to a little nice Irish pub on Staten Island.
Nice.
Now I've got to get some car bombs in me today, and we're ready to roll.
What about you, Corey? What do you got going on St. Patrick's Day?
I'll be here. I'll be working. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the real big. I'll be honest with you. I kind of avoid it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I head uptown, and I just kind of hide out. Because you come back into the city, everybody's all hammered and stuff like that. And I'm just like, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little bit tough. But I wish everybody a happy St. Patty's Day out there. I didn't wear green, you know. I don't know. I just really don't get into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it doesn't do it for me either. I'm trying to avoid it. Like, I'm trying to, like, find a bar to watch the games in and not,
yeah,
have, to,
and not have to deal with.
Personally. Yeah. Not that I really want to watch the games either, but.
Well, yeah, it's a tough one.
It's amazing how excited you are, like, for the beginning of March Madness, and then your team loses on the first day, and not so excited anymore.
But I'm proud of you, because your team lost yesterday, and I know it had a hurt, but you're representing the turtle today strong.
I am.
You got to do that.
I am. That's true. I'm proudly rocking a Terp shirt today for my team, which fell last yesterday.
What's the deal? They got to figure something out.
Yeah, that was terrible.
They got to figure something out, Greg.
I know. I mean, I don't know. There's nothing you can do now. It's over.
Yeah, yesterday we had people calling in for a return to Gary Land.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to do it. You got to get the recruits. That's the problem.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's tough. You know what I'm saying? You still had a nice. Do you look at it as still a successful season for the Terps?
Yes, it was. Nobody really expected anything of them this year. All freshmen and Mello, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they got to the tournament third straight year. Every year of Melo's tenure, they've been in the tournament, which is cool. How do you build on this, right? Like, that's how you figure out.
Very good.
What did you guys think of Madness yesterday?
I was really upset when Princeton didn't pull it off. I thought that was going to happen. I was rooting for them. I had the win in two games, so I was really rooting for them.
What did you think of the Madness yesterday, Cor?
That was good. Interesting games, you know what I mean? Had a couple of nail biters, a couple of blowouts, obviously. I had a pretty decent day. I only got two games wrong. I had I had the Terps beaten up on Xavier, and then I had Minnesota getting past Middle Tennessee. But other than that, pretty solid day. I like the way the bracket's shaping out so far. I'm in the 94th percentile.
That's good. You know, yeah. It's very early, though.
Oh, yeah, it is. I'm quite sure today would be a disaster.
Well, you know what? Yesterday, in reality, it was a pretty easy day to predict. Like, all favorites won except for Xavier and Middle Tennessee State, I believe, right?
I think that's correct.
So it wasn't exactly a hard day to predict,
nope,
Corey.
You're right. Hey, so, listen, I take them how I can get them.
I understand. You know, like, counts all the same.
Yeah.
So
I had a... never mind.
Okay. So today, we got a whole lot more on the schedule. 16 more games. We're just starting it off at 12:15. And it should be fun. It should be another fun day of just pure madness here for the NCAA tournament. But as I mentioned, today is St. Patrick's Day, right? St. Patty's Day. And so when thinking about what do we do on St. Patty's Day, and thinking about the show in general, what came to my mind was two different things. One, we could talk about all the Patricks there are in baseball. I thought about it. Not that many Patricks. Not a thing. Like, Pat Neshek, he got a win the other night for Team USA, so I felt like that would have been cool. But I realized that wasn't like a great idea. But then it came to me. Today's show, up until Mike, is Mike Lyon coming up at 9:30? You never played as Mike Lyon.
I have never played. It would be my virgin voyage.
Who is the defending champion?
I'm the defending champion.
You're going down.
But I'll still be the defending champion next week, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think you understand that word. Yeah. You know he's in Towers, by the way?
Yeah, did you hear about this?
I heard a little rumor.
Something, yeah.
But little word on the street. Yeah.
But today's show, I want it to be centered around luck. The idea of, because, you know, it's luck of the Irish, of course, today, St. Paddy's Day. I wanted to think about luck in, of course, a fantasy context, as well as certain players that may have gotten lucky or unlucky last year, and what we think of them going forward. So let me open up the conversation and start here.
Because Bad Bip is kind of like a luck thing.
Correct.
There look at this. Look at this.
Deep diving into the stats, Corey.
There you go. There you go.
Nerded out.
Yeah, I'm all nerded out on St. Patrick's Day. Greg, it just came to me just now. Like, well,
Look what I got right here, right?
What you got? Bad Bip?
I got the Bad Bip. That's right.
Yeah,
there you go.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day created Bad Bip.
See, I'm glad that you like where I went with this whole thing.
I love it. Go ahead. Bring it home.
So let me start right here. Matt, how much luck is involved in fantasy baseball?
There's luck involved in life, pretty much. But in fantasy baseball, yeah, I mean, sometimes from year to year, some guys will be very lucky. But that's why you got to, like, I like to look at, say, a three-year average, Chris. Pretty much you'll see an outlier. If you look at, as Corey likes to say, the back of the baseball card, there could be that one year where there was that spike. I mean, was a guy we talk about often, Robbie Ray.
Right.
Was he really that unlucky? Was some of it his fault for not having the command of his pitchers and getting hit hard? I mean, hard percentage needs to be correlated there. He did have a high, hard percentage. So if you hit the ball hard, you know, your BABIP might go up too.
I'm not even specifically talking about players quite yet, but Corey, when people tell you, you know, or you can be like, you didn't beat me, you got lucky, right? When it comes to fantasy sports, like, how much luck is involved in fantasy baseball? Like, you have your draft, you had your Towers draft the other week, like, it went well, like, we said, oh, this guy was bad, whatever. How much luck is actually involved rather than the skill it is in drafting?
I think it's a lot of luck involved. Not a lot of luck. I think I would go 30%. Would you go that high, Matt?
Yeah, probably something like that. A good one would be like, say a couple of years ago when Ike Davis was supposed to break out.
Yeah.
And him and Chris Davis were pretty much going in the same round. So maybe you were high on Ike Davis, and Ike Davis went like right before Chris Davis. And you lucked out. Because some
schmucks like Ike Davis.
Exactly.
Oh, and, yeah, that's,
you
know, good.
You got to get the MVP.
When you think about luck in fantasy sports, I always think about, it must have been maybe 2012, 2013. I think it was either week 15 or week 16. Might have been a championship week. I think it was a championship week. Very first play of the game. Romo drops back, throws the football, bangs his thumb on the Eagles player helmet. Breaks his thumb and he's out the game. Doesn't complete one pass in everybody's lineup. That's bad luck.
Sure.
You did nothing in that situation. You got all the way to week 16 and then luck stepped in and took over. So luck is a part of it. Luck happens. You know what I'm saying? Like a guy robbing a game winning home run. Not a game, a guy jumping up and robbing a home run. That could happen on, you know, October 2nd, you know, the last game of the season. So you see a lot of these situations where one play, one lucky thing, one thing that happens completely random can throw all your research and stuff out the window. So luck does play a part of it. But it is ways to combat against luck.
Please, divulge.
Just drafting better is one way. And, I hate to admit it, it's in baseball, you kind of have the luck thing built into it with the batting average on balls in play. So it actually makes a little bit of sense.
Oh,
just a tiny little bit of sense.
You're starting to crack, Corey. You're starting to crack.
Jinx in the armor.
I see it as, like, we keep saying that, and always say, that if you just, like in DFS, if you almost like follow the rules and follow the script and do everything right, ultimately you're going to win. Like, if you put up, in basketball, you put up 300 on a night and you lose, it's not lucky. Like, you did everything right. You put up a winning score, and it didn't work out. That's, again, unlucky. And I think that what we try to do is manage how much luck there is, of course. I think that's why you aim certain rules that you create, of course, in your leagues, in both baseball and football and basketball and whatever else you play, to try to narrow down the luck. You add positions, right? Because, oh, more positions, now we have to fill it out more. Now the true like the true experts will do well. Of course, other people like Jake will argue, well, more positions makes it even more lucky because now you got to fill up these random spots. And I get that argument as well. But in a game that I believe inherently does involve, let's say, 30% luck, maybe even more so, it's crazy just how much, not time, but work we invest in this. I mean, this is all what we do all day, where we can get everything right. We can analyze every stat. And whatever you have stat have told us, oh man, Melvin Gordon's gonna score double-digit touchdowns last year? No. Like, we're gonna tell us that Todd Gurley's gonna suck? No. I think it's just so interesting.
It was little things that you can look at and see.
Okay.
Right? With Gurley.
Right.
We knew Gurley had nothing around him going into the season. We knew it was Gurley and a whole bunch of bums for the most part. You knew it wasn't really going to be no passing game. The offensive line was decent. Now, we had saw Gurley perform that way the year before in his rookie season. Didn't have nothing around him, but still. So, I can't really say Gurley's drop-off, you know, that's not really luck. It was out there. It was things you can point to. You take, for an example, a situation like with me in the Flex League. That I'm the Flex Auction.
He's
I won the champion,
he's
Matthew.
A champion.
I'm the defending champion. So I don't know if you heard about that.
I hear lots of things.
Yeah, okay, so there you go. So I'm the champion of the Flex League. Remember how that played out, Greg? Remember beef with me and Jake and the changing of the seeding and stuff like that? If Jake would have changed the seeds, guess what? He would have been a champion.
Yeah.
That's luck.
That is luck. That is literally
that
luck.
Is luck.
Who you're playing week in and week out. And
that's
day
luck.
And day out, of
exactly.
Course.
And that's why you see a lot of football leagues. They'll go to, when you get to weeks 14, 15 of the season, the head-to-head is out of it, and you go to combined points because you want to eliminate the luck factor of it.
What I kind of like is like a three-week playoff, like from weeks 14 to 16, whoever has the most points.
Yeah, exactly.
That
eliminates the luck.
I think that takes the randomness out of it. Like, what was it the first week of the playoffs? I mean, Le'Veon Bell just went crazy.
He scored 77 fantasy points.
I thought it was like 107.
Something. It was a lot.
I was playing against him, so yeah, it was a lot.
The other thing, and you guys are all alluding to it too, of course, who you play. Like, as you guys know, I play in all of my fantasy baseball leagues are head-to-head. Like,
yeah, that's tough.
They're head-to-head, and per categories normally, and I could do very, very poorly every week and skate by with wins. It's lucky. That doesn't mean my team's any good. But if you have a really bad week against me and I'm skating by with just a couple of home runs or a couple of stolen bases, I'm winning without my team being good. That's luck. And I think, again, we inherently try to take it out as much as we can. I don't know if that's possible.
Well, there's doing the process and, like you mentioned, you could do everything right, do all the studying, but what you're trying to eliminate, what we're making is educated guesses. It's like, you know, when I worked on Wall Street and I'm looking at a stock chart, I'm trying to see the foundation and things look good, but the little bit of bad news, that stock's going to get crushed. So some things are out of your control no matter how well you try and, you know.
So let's think about it like also, but look at it like this. For example, we use our buddy Adam Ronis. Is he always getting lucky?
Right.
Or is there a level of skill?
What I think,
it has to be. Like, the luck is not going to keep shining on him every. I think it does.
No, but I'll counter that argument. I forget who. Like, there were two guys last year. I remember him saying this. He made two pickups last season.
Yeah.
That, you know, he said he really kind of whiffed on pitching. Besides having Syndergaard, the rest of his staff was pretty bad. But I forget the two guys he picked up. I think it was a Matt Shoemaker and somebody else.
Yeah.
That like really saved his season and was able to keep him in contention. So,
Danny Duffy.
So, those two guys right there. I mean, Danny Duffy really stepped it up.
Yeah.
I mean, so he had one of the most impressive games besides Max Scherzer's 20-strikeout game when he struck out 16 in Tampa.
So, that's like,
That's being on the ball.
Yeah, you're right. That is being on the ball.
He's putting the time in.
That is being on the ball. But you never know what can happen. It could have been a fab night. Somebody could have been running home. I got to go pick up. Yeah. I'm about to empty the clip on Danny Duffy. And then that guy, like, misses the elevator.
But
you know what I'm saying? And it locks. That's luck. We don't know if that happened, though.
That could be luck, like you're saying. Maybe the guy, whatever, something came up in his family. He had to run out. Forgot to do the fab. But at least he's putting himself with the chance to succeed. He's doing the things right.
My pops always say, preparation versus plus opportunity equal luck.
There you go. That's a good one.
He's a smart guy.
He's a smart man.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's a smart one.
Holler at him.
Yeah, you should give a call. What was the line again? Give it to me again.
Huh?
Give it to me again.
Preparation plus opportunity equal luck.
I like that. Preparation versus opportunity creates luck. There you go. More luck conversation on the other side. Not Andrew Luck. We're not going to talk about him today.
No. Well, we should talk about Andrew Luck. Didn't he have he had an off-season procedure on the show?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of questions if he'll be back in time. Of course, they're saying he'll be fine, but, who knows. We're not going to talk about Andrew Luck today. Instead, we're going to talk about players in baseball that were both unlucky and lucky last year and what we think of their value this year. Are they going too high? Are they going too early? What do we expect of these guys? It's a lucky Friday, the luck of the Irish. St. Patrick's Day. We roll on right after this. Undertaker here.
I'm getting nervous.
Is this for the turtle?
I don't know what this is for.
Maybe it is. Maybe it's for the Maryland Terrapins because they're resting in peace. But yeah, I was nervous for a little. When I first heard that, I was like, Taker's coming. But he is an old man now, so I think I can take him.
Still in one of the main matches of WrestleMania coming up.
Of course, but they got to figure it out. But then again, they are figuring it out. They do a good job.
Yeah, they do. Hey, let's talk about some of these players, guys, that got very lucky last year. Particularly looking at BABIP, Corey, from the hitter's
perspective. This is my new thing, BABIP.
Now you're in on BABIP.
No, because I already noticed something right off the rip about BABIP. Right? I just noticed something right off the top about it that I think, okay, this is ridiculous. The dude with the highest BABIP last year was DJ LeMahieu.
Correct.
He also had the highest damn batting average.
Well, that's usually how
it works. It's a correlation.
So where's the luck involved? He's hitting the ball good.
Well, the fact is he hit the ball and it was just like landing it where they weren't. That's how BABIP works.
Well, I mean, the thing with BABIP too, there's the league average of BABIP, which you should be looking at. But if it's a player that's a veteran, you need to look at their career BABIP. I mean, I know we're talking hitters right now, but let's just say like with BABIP, say the league averages 300 for pitchers. If you look at a guy like Julio Teheran, who has a 275 BABIP for his career, and he's pitched, 800 innings in his career, so he has a nice sample size, you should be looking at that. If you got to say, is he a ground ball pitcher? Teheran's a fly ball pitcher, so his BABIP should be lower than a ground ball pitcher. That's another thing you have to look at. So it's just taking... What I would do with like DJ LeMahieu is I look at his batted ball profile. Is he hitting line drives?
That's a lot for me.
Is he hitting the ball hard? So there's ways to see if it's a fluke. Is it a fast guy? Like you'll notice on the BABIP leaderboard, there's going to be a lot of fast guys there. Jonathan Villars, Starling Marte.
Right.
So let me ask you this. All right. So you look at this guy from the fighting Phillies. Cesar Hernandez? Is it Cesar or Caesar?
I believe it's...
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay, Hernandez.
Hernandez.
his regular batting average was .294, right? The regular one, 5x5. His BABIP was .368. So what's up with him? Are you seeing regression, or do you think this is what he is?
Well, one thing he did well is he had almost a 25% line drive rate. So that's good. He's hitting ground balls. He's a guy that shouldn't be hitting the ball in the air. His game is to hit the ball on the ground and use his speed. He wants, he's not a guy that's going
to
hit a lot of
home runs. Yeah, I'm trying to leg him out.
Yeah, so by the fact that he's hitting 25% line drives, that's something good. He's only hitting 20% fly balls, so that's another positive because for him, I mean, for like a power hitter, you want like 40% hard hit and you want 40% fly ball.
Which of course makes sense because they'll drive out of the park. That's the goal. Now, let's go back to DJ LeMahieu. Let's start here from the top.
Who was
the, quote, luckiest hitter in baseball to bat at 388? Of course, he did lead the league in average, as expected, at 348, as Corey pointed out. DJ LeMahieu, I feel people still don't love this guy, don't trust this guy. I feel like this is now 2 years in a row where people were like, oh, he had a really good year last year. You know what? I'm out. Where are you in DJ LeMahieu?
I like him a lot. I think the whole thing I was worried about was where was he going to bat in the lineup, and from what I'm hearing, he's batting second. I was a little worried that maybe he'd get dropped down to seventh. I wasn't sure where Trevor Story was going to bat, but from what I'm hearing, he'll be batting second for the Rockies, which is a great spot to be in. And so I'm going to look. He had about a 388 BABIP last season.
Yep.
But I'm going to look. He had almost a 27% line drive rate. That's pretty damn good. Coors outfield is so vast. So you want a guy like him hitting long drives, hitting the ball in the gap. And for somebody of his size, he's got a 35% hard hit rate. That's another factor. So wait, this guy's hitting long drives at a really nice clip. He's hitting the ball hard. And, you know, so these are things that, you know, you got to look at. Is it fluky? He only had a 10% homer to fly ball percentage. He's not a home run hitter, but it wasn't something that was, like, drastically out of whack. It was high for him, though. If you look at his past seasons, you know, it was, like, 5 or 6%, and now he's up over 10. So it's, all I'm trying to say is, just if you look into it, you could find out if the guy had a fluky season. Look, if he had like a 17% line drive rate and he had a 388 BABIP, you know, you could say, hey, you know, or and like a 27% hard hit percentage, then I could really question it. But he's playing in the greatest hitter's park with a vast outfield, and this is his game. His game is to hit line drives, and he's done it 2 years in a row where he's hit 26% or more. So he's got the batted ball profile that you want to look at, and for his skills, fit perfectly.
He's currently, NFBC ADP that I see, 87th, which is the 10th second baseman off the board. Does that sound right to you, Corey?
Yeah, that sounds about right. You know, in second base is a deep position, but I'm a fantasy owner. I would be in on LeMahieu, you know, I'm going to do another draft. So if he's there, he's a guy I'm interested in. I think he's a good, solid offensive player, and I don't have no problem with it. Even though he's probably aided second base because second base is so deep this year. But I like DJ LeMahieu. You know what I mean? He does the job.
Well, I think in the last like two seasons, if we go by say like Baseball HQ's their gauge, you know, use a good site that's got something good there. He's earned in 2015, 5x5, $27. And in 2016, he earned $32.
What do you mean he earned it?
With his stats. When you look at the stats, so what he put up last season.
That would be his auction value.
Well, no. That's what he was worth. Like, say you paid $20 for him last year, just hypothetically.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
And he earned $27.
And he earned $27. He profited for you. He was going less than that.
Yeah.
So he's a guy that's been a real profitable player. If you're looking at what he's been able to produce, and staying up on the top of that lineup, I think is the thing. He'll get the plate appearances and score some runs.
Would you send that $7 to him?
He's got enough money.
Would it be a check or cash money? Or whatever?
I'd be more than happy. I'd be more than happy to send him $7.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He'd be like, "What the hell is this?"
I got a nice change bag at home.
Change? Sorry, I should give him a bunch of change, Modica.
No, you just drop it into the machine and you get money.
Oh, I thought you actually wanted to send him like a bunch of dimes.
Before I had children, I used to have a singles box. Like at the end of the day, I would come home, I would put all my singles in my pocket in a box.
And then take the box where?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Wednesday nights.
That was, like I said, before I had children. And then I was, you know, younger. But now, I don't have a singles box anymore. They found it.
There's so many ways I can take that. There's so many jokes that can be made.
Yeah, but not the singles box. It was up there. It about $90-something in there one time.
And then where'd it go?
I don't know, Greg. I'm just trying to make it.
All right. That's for the program.
Yeah, exactly.
Continuing down here on Babbitt.
The next guy is good, too.
And that, all these guys are pretty good. And that brings us to Starling Marte, who Modiga just referenced. Like, he's always going to have a high Babbitt because he's so fast. He hits the ball on the ground a whole bunch. And theoretically, he's going to be... He's going. The BABIP's going to be high because he's going to be able to beat out a bunch of hits that maybe some other players would not. Yeah. His BABIP set at 380 last year.
Yeah.
The average is not nearly as good, of course, as DJ LeMay. He was at 311. 9 home runs. He had 47 stolen bases in Starling Marte this year.
But the one thing, once I see a 380 BABIP for Starling Marte, so now we click on his player page and stuff. We look in 2015. Okay, he had... 333, but the years before that he had 373, 363. So this wasn't like
his thing.
Yeah, this wasn't like so outrageous for him. He's never had in a true full season. He's never had less than a 280 batting average, except for like his rookie year where he played like I don't know, maybe 50 games or something like that.
You know, this is my first time looking at this FanGraphs.
This is
remember that page you were arguing with me that day? Yeah. That green page?
That green. I know. The layout was always like, I'm not looking at this. I didn't like the way it was laid
out. You luckily
there you
stumbled
go. I know. Lucky there. The luck of the Irish. Look, but here's the thing I'm noticing. This guy don't walk, Starling Marte.
He does not walk, but he's been productive. I mean, he's not strike. He doesn't strike out.
Either.
He doesn't strike out 30% of the time. That you know, you got to look at the. At the player's game, and like I said, if you look at out of the last four seasons, 363, 373, 380, 333 is the outlier. So he's a guy that's had a BABIP of 360 or better in three of the 4 years, and stolen at least 30 bases in three.
He's doing. He's a good player. Yeah. Second round guy.
He's my boy this year.
He's your boy this year. Why is your boy this year?
Because I think he gives great value. Look, he hit 9 homers last year.
Yeah, he's not a big
home run guy, but look, he's only, what is he? I think he's going to be 28 this season. I can see this going back up to 15 homers or like at least 12, 13 home runs. What I'm drafting Starling Marte is for, say, anywhere from 12 to 15 home runs. I want that floor of 30 stolen bases with the upside of 40 or more. I mean, what did he steal, 47 last year?
Still 47,
He's got two seasons of 40 stolen bases or more in the last four. So speed is a big part of his game. And I don't think we've seen the best out of Starling Marte. I think the biggest problem for him is staying on the field. He only has one season where he's played 150 games or more.
So let me ask you this. If he plays 150 games this year, do you think next year, this time, we're talking about a first-round draft pick?
I think that's possibly so. The reason why I've been – it's not that I don't like Trey Turner. The reason why I say I'm not drafting Trey Turner there, because at the 10th spot where he's been usually going, I can get – say if it's Bryce Harper or Miguel Cabrera or Josh Donaldson, I can take that player there, and then 10 picks later, I can get Starling Marte.
There you go. Lots to like about Starling Marte. A little bit of breaking news here from Adam Schefter.
I just saw your face look crazy just now.
Because Schefter just tweeted out, Raiders strongly considering acquiring running back Marshawn Lynch, either through trade or by his release. What the hell is this?
Well, Marshawn Lynch has retired, so why did they got to... Does Seattle still have rights?
I assume the Seahawks still own his rights. And did he officially put his retirement papers in? He did, right?
I could have sworn he did.
I thought he tweeted it out.
Did he have, like, some contract years left when he retired?
I don't know. What the hell is this?
So Marshawn Lynch is considered... Well, you know...
He's going to be 31 in April.
That's not bad. He's gained a lot of weight last time I saw him, though.
He's currently the property of the Seahawks on their reserved retired list, according to Andrew Brandt.
He want to go play for Oakland. He took a year off.
Got a little fat.
He probably didn't get that weight off of him.
Think so.
Go play for Oakland and maybe compete for a championship in his hometown city.
Interesting. That's a weird one. I saw this, and I saw that on the TV behind you, Modiga. Like, I thought I saw, like, Marshawn Lynch running. Like, what?
No, I did, too. I was looking at Marshawn Lynch running on TV. I thought maybe they was...
Am I seeing Thomas Rawls? What's going on? But supposedly, the Seahawks are interested now in Marshawn Lynch. The Raiders are interested in Marshawn Lynch.
I was getting a little worried there. I thought maybe I was saying some erroneous facts.
Yeah, I looked
at Greg's face. I didn't know what the hell was going on. And now my phone is vibrating, and it says, not this one.
Probably can't read that one.
No, I can't read. That one I can't read.
Let's not read that one.
But I got one right here. The team stream says, Raiders strongly considering acquiring retired running back Marshawn Lynch. Oh, wow, that'd be, wow, that's, that'd be good. That'd be a good look for them. He would run right into, he goes right into a nice offense, a nice health, a nice good young offense. He can be a workhorse running back in that position, in that slot. Obviously, you want to see if this is true, and it does, and this hold through. You want to see him work that rust off in the preseason. But I think by week five, week six, you can have an RB1 for the rest of the way.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I can't believe he's only going to be 31 come April 22nd.
Because we wrote him off like 30 times when he was like 25.
Yeah, as a Bills fan, I remember him, you know.
Oh, yeah, remember he went to Buffalo first.
Nobody really remembers that either. Can Eddie Lacy be their new Marshawn Lynch? Like, comes over... from another team, like a little bit overweight, there's some issues with him, and then all of a sudden he goes to Seattle and revitalizes his career. Is that possible?
I think so. I mean, if Eddie Lacy was ever going to be motivated, it's this season. He's in a system where he could flourish. He's only got a 1 year contract for what, like $5.5 million. So he wants to get paid, and next year is going to be the chance for him to have a payday.
All right, we'll see. We'll see if that will happen. Of course, with Seattle, that's not going to be lucky. That's going to be just probably losing weight. That's not lucky.
Yeah, Marshawn get in there and lose the weight.
I'm talking about Eddie, but they both lose weight. That's not lucky. That's just actually like working hard.
Salads versus cheeseburgers.
The last time we saw Marshawn Lynch was that video he did in the Super Bowl, right? Where he was in Houston or some other place. So Marshawn
wasn't
Lynch,
he like, on the Seattle sideline? Randomly?
When?
Wasn't he like, he was, I don't know, it wasn't the playoffs, it was probably during the regular season. He was like messing with like Richard Sherman and friends on the sidelines. You guys don't remember that?
I remember he's a big fan of the Skittles.
Yes.
As am I.
Yes. Oh.
See,
yeah.
There he goes right here. See, he was little, see, he looks like a fat boy right here.
Yeah.
He's probably, is he skinnier than Eddie Lacy?
He is skinnier than Eddie Lacy. Well, yeah, he looks like a fat boy. Look at that. He looks like a fat boy right there. Well, you got to see him stand up again. He's looking there. He's like a fat boy. Mm. Beast mode. One of the great runs in NFL history.
Wasn't he always kind of a fat boy?
He always was kind of a fat boy. He wore it well. I give him that. But he looked like he got a little bit more. What's the dude that used to work with at the mothership on NFL Network now? Maurice Jones-Drew.
Sure.
He's a fat boy.
Yeah, he's a fat boy.
Marshawn Lynch is not like that.
Yeah. I agree with that. All right, we'll continue our luck conversation. Get away from the Marshawn Lynch conversation. I want to talk about more players that had really lucky quote-unquote years, because it is St. Patrick's Day. It is about the luck of the Irish today. So when we come back, we'll talk about JD Martinez and Mike Trout. We'll do that next.
Texas Rattlesnake. Yesterday was,
we should have had that yesterday. Yeah.
Yesterday was 316. Today's 317.
It's great that Steve Austin has a day for himself.
Yeah, I know. It's cool that, yeah, if anybody should have a day for themselves,
Stone Cold.
It should be Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, I agree, man.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah!
I like Stone Cold.
I'm with you, dude. Who doesn't like Stone Cold?
Yeah.
All right. JD Martinez last year, 378 Babbitt. And 2 years in a row, JD Martinez, I mean, he got hurt last year, but he was very, very good for Detroit. The Babbitt in 2014, that was 389. 2015, 339. 2016, 378. There's your 3 years, yeah. Matt Modica. The 339, kind of the outlier of those three, because he had monster Babbitts in both 2016 and 2014. What do we think of JD Martinez here in 2017?
I think the only thing JD Martinez needs to do is to play 150 games or more. And I think he could repeat the 38 home run season. I think if he gets the at-bats or the plate appearances, he's a lock for 30 home runs. He's in a great lineup. He's got an elite hard hit percentage. He's got a very good fly ball percentage, which you want to see from him. And he's a guy that, I mean, I'll always love, because in 2014, I put a $9 bid on him that last weekend in June or first weekend in July. And he went on to really win me some nice money that year.
Well, good job. I'm glad that happened for you, Matt. Yeah, I got him in Towers.
So you're high on him too then?
Yeah, I love him.
So I'm high on JD Martinez as well, because back, I guess, in 2014, like, I draft, he was one of those guys where I admittedly drafted him early because I saw the Turner. Maybe it was 2015 I had him. Because I saw what he did in 2014, and I believed it to be real. And I bought into all those He learned from Miguel Cabrera now. He knows how to hit now. He changed his stance and stuff. And I think that seeing that power, everything he does is real to me. That line drive percentage, I assume, is pretty good, Matt. Like I'm assuming he's hitting the ball hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, his hard hit percentage is anything 40% or above is elite. And as you mentioned, as you started off the show, we were talking about luck.
Yes.
He was with the Astros, and the Astros just gave up on him. Mm-hmm. And luckily, he got into the right situation with the Tigers. And look at his career now.
Each of the last 3 years, the hard hit percentage over 40% for J.D. Martinez. Now, are we nervous that... You said the only thing you have to worry about him is play 150 games. If he gets traded, would that scare you? Like, out of the comfort of Detroit? Not like Detroit's a good stadium for hitters at all. But, like, J.D. Martinez, like, he's been really well in Detroit. He did really bad in Houston. I'm wondering, has he grown enough that, like, even if he leaves Detroit, we'll still feel okay?
I think he'll still be good. I mean, the only thing that maybe I'm really not a fan of when players get traded out of the league, and you got to learn a new league,
new
sometimes.
System, new pitches, stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're not familiar with
you
the pitches.
You think that the advantage goes to the pitcher or the hitter in that situation?
I'm going to say the pitcher.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, because, you know, he hasn't really seen that pitcher. Look, today we have all these video and advanced scouting and stuff. But still, there is a familiarity you get.
He's going up to the plate against the dude, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think this is a guy that's proven over, you know, since 2014 that his skills are real. So, I mean, I remember hearing, the problem is he's in the final year of his contract with Detroit, and there was mention earlier on, I don't know how true it was just rumor, but the Tigers were offering the Mets, J.D. Martinez from Michael Conforto.
Yeah, I heard that too, and
I hope he stays with the Tigers.
We're not going to do that. Their outfield is obviously completely slammed right now.
Okay, good.
The Mets. So I think he's going to get traded. If the Tigers fall out of it, I think he'll get traded. He knows that too, because he'll be a free agent next year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, you know, someone that I want to make sure gets in the right situation, because I do believe in him still. Like, I would be happy to draft him. Where should I be drafting him, Matt?
I mean, I couldn't see him falling too far. I think anybody that's a smart kind of player is on J.D. Martinez. Excuse me. So he's a guy that's not going to last past the fourth round. I mean, he's a third or fourth round player in my book.
Where did you draft him in Towers, Corey?
I drafted him in the third round of a 15-team league. So there you go, right
and
there.
And that's exactly what Matt said. So that's pretty good. Continuing down, we talked about Jonathan VR a little bit. And number five with the highest BABIP, and then we'll go to some unlucky players after this, is Mike Trout, which is interesting, at 371.
One of the best guys.
He's the best guy. Number one pick, obviously. Right. In all drafts, probably the MVP, the everything. That's what Mike Trout is. Are we surprised that he has this high of a BABIP, Core?
I mean, I guess not. He's the best player, right? He's the best player. His BABIP was 371. His average was 315. This guy's good right here. So, look, he walked 17%. Yeah, Mike Trout he's the best offensive player in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, Trout he's our, like, Mickey Mantle. It's just, I mean, he's a joy to watch. And everything.
I don't get to see him that much. I don't watch West Coast baseball.
It gets tough, you know, if you got to get up early.
Yeah, 4 o'clock for 5 years.
Staying up to, you know, 1 a.m. is quite the chore. But, I mean, just pretty much, he does a little bit of everything pretty much great. So, there's just so much to like. And that's why he's, Jose Altuve has out-earned him the last three seasons.
Oh, really?
But Mike Trout is just so secure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just so good. His floor is so cemented that's why you take him as the number one pick.
What he's going to do is obviously just never hurt you, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if he, like last year, he missed 30-30 by one home run, was it?
That'd have been cool.
You know, so, I mean, and we talked the previous 2 years, it was the Mike Trout's not going to run anymore.
Yep.
I think as he gets older, we will start seeing the steals declining again.
Well, it was last year, he came into the year saying, listen, I want to run more, and he did. And that was awesome because he, like, actually did what he said he was going
to
do.
Yeah, but just to back that point up, I believe he said the same thing in 2015, and he still loved me.
He did. Last year he came through.
Yeah.
And this year, this year he says he wants to keep running, and it's crazy that he's only 25 years old, by the way.
That's the craziest.
Are you fucking kidding me? He's 25 years old.
He's only 25, and, I mean, if you just look, I mean, just look at his OPS every year. It's just, it's insane. It's over 900, almost 1,000 every year. 991, 991, 988. I mean,
who taught him how to play?
Me.
And he's also a Jersey kid.
Jersey kid, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he's from Jersey.
South Jersey.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what's up. Oh, that's right. He's the Eagle fan, right? That's right. He's the Eagle fan. That sucks.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, some of the unluckiest players in baseball last year. Can they turn that luck around? Will they be on our teams here in 2017? We discuss it next on the Roto Experts in the Morning. We gave you the people that were really lucky last year. From the sounds of it, for almost all of them, we're kind of in again, right? Like, we're kind of in on this. In on these guys. What are the players that got unlucky last year? And we started at the top there as well. They had a very low BABIP, Corey. That was Todd Frazier. BABIP was .236 last season. Dude hit 40 bombs. 89 runs scored, 98 ribbies, 15 stolen bases. If I just told you that, you'd be like, holy crap, that's amazing. That's awesome. Problem was the average at .225, the OBP at .302.
So he should be getting, he should be in line for a bounce back, right?
Yes and no. I mean, he's a fly ball hitter, so his BABIP is not going to be like a three-something BABIP. That's going to be like an outlier for him for the most part. The things that he did last year was he sold out for power. You know, strikeouts went up. Which, you know, that's understandable. He wants to hit more home runs. He did hit 40 home runs. But the things I looked at that popped off to me was his line drive percentage went down to just over 15%. And most importantly, his hard hit percentage was down to 31% as opposed to 37% the last year. So, I mean, he's hitting the home runs because he's almost hitting 50% fly balls. So pretty much almost half of his balls that are in play are fly balls. And the home run to fly ball percentage for him has always been pretty high. It's always been above like 15% for the most part. Do I see a bounce back? The average a little. I'm not really buying a big average bounce back for him. But the power is real. The power is part of his game. The biggest question for him for fantasy is how many stolen bases is Todd Frazier going to get this year? And where is he going to wind up playing? Because Chicago will trade him at some point.
Those are all major questions for Todd Frazier. But my follow-up to that is, where are we drafting him? Because those questions are in the air. We're not going to necessarily know the answers to those questions by the time you're drafting, because people are drafting right now. So given that he has 40 home run power, given that he steals, you know, steals double-digit bases here, given that the average is always low, we assume the BABIP goes up a little bit, where do we draft him? Because I feel like nobody wants him.
I kind of feel the same way, and it's a guy that I've been kind of... I mean, third base is just so deep. If you don't get, you know, in the first round, you're going to take one of those studs, and that's fine. But, I mean, there's guys like Alex Bregman, who should be an up-and-coming young stud.
Yep.
And you got the Mikel Francos of the world, if you want to gamble on a Miguel Sano.
Got old school, like Adrian Beltre.
Yeah, I mean, Adrian Beltre is just... old man strength. The guy's built like Diesel.
Drink beer.
Yeah. And, I mean, you got Jake Lamb later on.
Who's I forgot about Jake Lamb. Yeah.
Nick Castellanos, who was breakout last year. Yeah. That got hurt. The kid in Oakland, Ryan Healy, a lot of people are very high on. I mean, we're just talking about this. A guy that I really loved coming into the season, but, you know, three DUIs. He's on the restricted list right now, was Jung Ho Kang. So, I mean, I don't know.
He need a chauffeur.
Jungle Gong doesn't need a chauffeur.
I mean, he's just not a guy that, I mean, in that range, I think he's like going top 80. I'm not really taking him there.
Corey, can you get in? You're telling me this guy is going to bounce back. Are you going to get in on him?
Nah, you know what? No, I don't take Todd Frazier. I agree with Matt. The depth at third base is just so many more intriguing ways you can go. Now, listen, do you like the 40 home run upside? Yeah, of course, that's great right there. But you can mix and match and get that power. No got to attach this batting average to it. So maybe the average does rebound a little bit. But I'm not going, you know, he's more of a constellation prize if you get caught looking, you know what I mean, trying to figure it out at third base. I think it's more intriguing.
But you could do worse consolation prizes than a dude that hit 40 bombs.
No, I feel what you're saying, Greg.
Well, I mean, would you take the gamble? Say he's at 80th overall.
Right.
Would you say want to wait 40 picks and take a gamble on a guy like Miguel Sano, who could hit like 45, maybe even 50? I mean, that power is, he's got like light tower power.
Yeah, Sano has real power too, but he's not going to steal 15 bases.
That he's not, true. But you know.
He makes a good point.
You're also getting him, say, in a 12 team, oh, 3.5 rounds later.
Sure. So, I mean, I'm mad on Miguel Sano. I also hate that he strikes out like 40% of the time. So
that's no bueno.
Yeah, no, I'm mad on him. All right, Jose Bautista. A lot of people expect a bounce back from him because his BABIP last year was a very, very low 255. The average set at 234, and he was injured much of the year. 22 home runs, 69 ribbies, 68 runs scored. He's out with something to prove, Matt, right? Like, that's the big story with Jose Bautista.
He walks a lot.
What?
He walks a lot.
Oh, yeah. He walks a lot, doesn't strike out very much. And so Jose Bautista, a lot of people expect a pretty big bounce back from. Are you buying the bounce back from Jose Bautista?
Yes, I just think Jose Bautista needs the plate appearances. That was the only reason last season he didn't hit 30 home runs. Not to just beat the dead horse, but he's got elite skills for a power hitter. Over 40% fly ball percentage, over 40% hard hit percentage. These are the things you want to look at. He's a guy that has a good eye. I mean, the walk percentage is pretty much at 17%. The strikeout percentage is at 20%. And one of the things I like is what you correctly said. Jose Bautista is pissed off. Jose Bautista said before he wound up signing that deal with the Blue Jays, I'm not giving no hometown discount.
Yeah.
I want to get paid.
Want my money.
I took a lesser contract in the past. Jose Bautista wound up signing, you know, the deal that he really didn't want to sign. So yeah. I think he's out to prove.
See, they was like Baltimore was interested, right? But they was like,
Baltimore's always a team that's interested but doesn't actually sign anybody.
But they was like we can't
that's
bring
a good
him.
Point.
They was like, we can't bring him in here because the fans hate him.
They do.
Yeah, but that's so stupid. I mean, the Yankee fans hated Johnny Damon, and you look, I don't care.
Johnny Damon is heartbreaking.
Whoever could be the Mets' arch nemesis, you look, if Chipper Jones came to the Mets in his prime or something like that,
he'd have been all on board.
Yeah.
Bautista is a different cat, though, because, like, he liked to fight, and he talk a lot of trash, and he
got popped last year by Rougned Odor. That little man packed a punch.
He rocked him. He rocked him, like, helmet flew off his glasses.
But I think everybody likes Jose Bautista. He follows everybody back on Twitter, you know. So he's
yeah,
nice
yeah,
guy.
He does do that on Twitter. Yeah. What's up with that? I'll send him a DM. Oh, he's probably getting ready for the game.
Yeah.
Oh, you know he had the game was last night. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry. Let's not wake him.
Yeah, he probably had the after party last night, too.
Yeah.
He's feeling
better than I am.
Let's not wake him.
Carlos Santana right under Jose Bautista.
Our boy.
258 BABIP last year, but many people thought it was like an unbelievable year for Carlos Santana, right? 34 home runs, 89 runs scored, 87 RBI. He doesn't strike out at all. The OBP was, tremendous, 366, as we expect from Carlos Santana. And the average is actually higher than we've seen in recent years, almost 260. And this is with having a top five worst BABIP in all of baseball. What do we expect of Carlos Santana?
He should be real good.
Just look at last year, he had a 258 BABIP, right?
Yep.
Look at the previous years, 261, 249, 301, 270. His career BABIP is
right
269.
Around here. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what you got to, like, don't look at the league average. I know everybody likes to go there first. Look at a player who's got the years. Look at his career BABIP. But look at his, you know, walk percentage to strikeouts. I mean, 14.4 to 14.4.
Yeah,
that is
exactly
damn good. Like, in OBP leagues, he is a stud. So, but once again, go back to the batted ball profile. He just profiles correctly. He's on a, look, they got Edwin Encarnacion. He's on a really good team. And look, maybe people, I don't know why people, even if he's giving you the 250 batting average and stuff like that, he does so many other things well. I don't think he's too overpriced. The first base position gets awful thin, awful fast. So he's a guy that after that first tier, you know, guys like, you know, after Hanley Ramirez, I mean, I'd probably have him close to Hanley anyway. So
I might take him over Hanley.
Yeah. I mean, in OBP league, he's, like I said, he's much more valuable.
Obviously. Corey, I know you're in on Carlos Santana as well. How in on him are you?
Yeah, I'm a Carlos Santana supporter. I like Mr. Santana. I like him for a while now, and now I'm looking at his numbers a little bit deeper, and I'm seeing how good a player he really is. So I think he's in that 15 to 20 range at first base. So I can get on him. Like, the tear does drop. People are kind of scared about the batting average, and of course there's no speed, but everything else is right in line with what you want. Good team. So, yeah, no, if you can get him as like a corner, that's crazy.
Just quick, like a Santana around later than Eric Hosmer, and I want Santana.
Yeah. Santana does more. And I don't even think it's close, personally. Mm-hmm. Although Hosmer in that free agent year, trying to get paid, you know. I get that too. All right, we talked for the first hour here about the luckiest players and luckiest hitters in baseball. The unluckiest hitters in baseball. Well, there's all these pitchers we have to get to now too. Coming up next, we talk about the luckiest pitchers and the unluckiest pitchers here on the day that we celebrate the luck of the Irish, St. Patrick's Day. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Number two underway here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Executive Corey Parsons.
Yo.
Here. Matt Modica in the house all week long. This is a full week of work, Matt Modica.
I'm having a blast, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you, because we wouldn't be able to do this without you. So thank you for hanging out all week long. Let's get through some of the luckiest pitchers in baseball, because it's St. Patrick's Day, and we want to celebrate luck, or at least, I don't know, celebrate it, but just have a discussion surrounding it. So, with luck, let's get the luckiest pitcher in baseball, who pretty much every year people don't understand how this guy gets people out, and every year, well, he does, and that's Marco Estrada. The Babbitt, what?
To the pitchers. I'm on the batter still. Just, I'm new to fan graphs. Let me see. Hold on.
You go to leaders and then pitchers?
Pitching. Hold on a second.
No, we'll wait for you. No worries.
Babbitt. Yep. Mm-hmm. Pitchers. I didn't know pitchers. Okay, BABIP for the pitchers.
Yeah.
So, are we doing? We starting with the best, or are we starting with the worst?
We're starting with the guys that got luckiest. So that's, okay, so Marco Estrada. He's number one on the list.
No, I have Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah, but
no, I got Marco Estrada.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, now Corey's
all right, yes, all right.
Corey is caught up with us here. The luckiest pitcher in baseball, Matt Modica, was Marco Estrada. He's got an 8.44 K to 9 ratio last year. Only went 9-9. Obviously, went through some injury issues last season. But you know, he's kind of done this since he got into Toronto. Whether it's smoke and mirrors, people can't stand this guy because they don't understand how he continues to do well. Will that success continue in 2017?
I've been betting against him, and I've been wrong, but if you look at where, like, if you want to explain Marco Estrada, I mean, we talk about BABIP and, say, league average 300. His career average is 256. How does this happen? One of the things Marco Estrada does supremely well and is elite at is infield fly percentage. I mean, he had almost 17% infield fly. That's telling you people are not getting good contact on him. The previous year, he was like at 27%. Last year, he was right about league average on hard hit. He is a fly ball pitcher. You know, he played in Miller Park with the Brewers. Now he's in Rogers Center. His walks went up last season, which you don't want to see, and he's pretty much a control guy. But with that, the payoff was the K9 rate was like 8.5. So he did get more dominant, which is something you want to see. But I mean, he's just a guy that's proving to be better than we all thought, proving us wrong every year, and actually making the Blue Jays look pretty smart with that trade.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, he proves us wrong every year. We count him out kind of every single year. But the fact is, like, he keeps the ball in the ballpark. In a tough ballpark, he keeps the ball in the ballpark. And Marco Estrada is someone that doesn't really cost you much, because everyone feels the same way we do, or that you do, I should say. Everyone feels that, like, there's no way any amount of success can be sustained for him, and yet here we are, what, in year three or four now?
His velocity is... his velo is at 88.
Hey, he doesn't throw it hard.
What the hell...
He's never had that fastball. Like, 90 has been like his top, but it's it's how, you know, you got to take what you have and how you approach it. And what is your money pitch? The money pitch for him is the changeup.
Yep.
It's not the fastball. I mean, he's going to try and fool you with the fastball changeup combos.
Yeah.
I mean, those are...
He's working with what he has. It's not the size of the boat, it's how it's the motion in the ocean. There you go.
In 2015.
You're crushing it today, Corey, with these.
That's it.
No, I didn't get that from him.
In 2015, his BABIP was 216, which is actually 20 points lower than it was in 2016, which is why everyone thought there's no way this could ever sustain. His FIP and XFIP in 2015 were insane. 4.40, 4.93 XFIP. Then last year, 4.15, 4.64. Every advanced metric says this guy is going to suck at some point.
Steam is saying that too. I mean, Steam has got it for a 482. For a 482. I mean, I have him outside of my top 60. I think I have him like 62nd or 63rd.
Right. So he won't be. He's not going to be on your teams.
He's not. I mean, look, late. If I need a guy with innings, I might take a shot. He's just there not a guy that I really have a shot.
Okay. Marco Estrada, very, very lucky. Also very, very lucky last year. Dan Straley. Now, Straley is a guy, four top prospects who, you know, struggled, bounced around the league, winds up in Cincinnati, has a nice little year, goes 14-8 on the season. ERA, you know, 3.76. The FIP and XFIP, they were bad. 4.88. Exit was 5.02. The BABIP sat last year at 239. The Reds traded away Dan Straley to Miami, I believe, right? Did I make that up?
That's correct.
Traded him away to the Miami Marlins, and he's going to try to fill a rotation spot there. What do we think of Dan Straley? Can he do it again, or was the smoke and mirrors too much last season?
Oh, I mean, last season I did pick up Straley. I did ride him. I was fortunate for that. This season I'm staying away, as you indicated. All the metrics are saying he was basically a 5 ERA pitcher. I mean, the funny thing about Dan Straley is he's going to a better park now. He pitched at Great American Ballpark, as they call Great American Small Park.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he pitched really well at Cincinnati, when he was home. On the road is where he had his struggles, where he pitched like a 4.70 ERA, and he gave up 18 homers on the road as opposed to only 13 homers at home. I'm not buying him in Miami. I know it's a bigger ballpark, the National League East. I got lucky last year with him. I'm washing my hands.
ERA should definitely balloon up to over 4.
Yeah, I think we're playing with some. I think if you draft him, you play.
But as you said, much bigger ballpark now in Miami compared to Cincinnati. So, you know, that's good.
No, there are people that do like Australia this year. I'm not one of them.
Yeah, I'm not one of them either, for the record. I was just playing devil's advocate with him. All right. How about number 3 and number 4 guys on this list? Jake Arrieta and Kyle Hendricks. Now, Hendricks, of course, 16-8. ERA was 2.13 last year. The BABIP at 250. Now, Jake Arrieta, 18-8, 3.10 ERA last year, and a 241 BABIP. What do we think of Arrieta and Hendricks? What do we make of these numbers?
Well, the one thing with Kyle Hendricks, the main difference between 2015 and 2016 are two things that just pop right off the page to you. In 2015, his BABIP was 296. His left on base percentage was 70%. Last season, the BABIP was 250, and the left-on-base percentage was 81.5%. So those are two major spikes. But what happened last season? The Cubs had one of the greatest defensive years. So I think it's like 4 out of 8 or 5 out of their top 5 pitchers out of the top 13 were all on the leaderboards for BABIP. So you had that great defense. Can that great defense repeat itself? There is going to be some regression there. It's still a very good defense. I mean, I think Javi Baez should be playing second base every day just because his defense warrants that. You got Addison Russell, who's fantastic at short as well. So I look at Kyle Hendricks. If you look at the last two seasons, the FIP, 336, 320, even the XFIP, I think he's like a 330 pitcher, which for me is a solid number 2. He's throwing 180, 190. He's in line for, say, 200 innings this year. Maybe he won't give you all the strikeouts.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's fine. He's got his strikeout and his K9 and his walks per 9 over 8 and just about 2. that's fantastic. I'm fine with that. I mean, this is to me one of the safer pitchers, a guy that I've been targeting.
His velocity is bad too, though. Not a problem for him because he's crafty.
Yeah, I mean, not everybody's game is going to be where you have to, you know, throw 95. I mean, look at Jamie Moyer. He survived in the league until he was like 47 years old.
But that's like a...
Yeah, that's a crafty lefty.
But
I'm just saying, you know, but not everybody has to live at certain velocities. Like, his game is, they say one of the major attributes and why he's so successful is his deception. So he's able to kind of deceive the batter to what's coming to. So it becomes more of a guessing game for the opposing hitter.
Yeah, I agree. He seems very, very safe. He seems very, very safe. Everything he does seems repeatable. Maybe not the BABIP, but like you said, that feeling behind him is better than anybody. And both Arrieta and Hendricks, of course, play for the same team, same ballpark, same defensive players behind them. Both should be in store for good years. Then he has number five, which is an interesting one as well. And that's Justin Verlander. Verlander's 255 BABIP coming off a really, really good year last year. 16-9. The ERA was about 3. FIP and xFIP a little bit higher than that. Can Justin Verlander, with the decreased velocity, now everyone's back in on Verlander. Everyone loves the pitcher he's become. Can this continue on?
I think Verlander's good. I have him as a top 10 pitcher, just inside, I believe. And look, he had like an 80% left on base percentage. There is going to be some regression to his game, but what is Justin Verlander going to give back? He's still going to be a very, very good pitcher. Still should give you the 200 innings, the 200 strikeouts. That's what you're looking for from your ace.
Yep.
So, I mean, if the ERA goes from, say, 3 to, say, 330, 340, I'm fine with that. Verlander, pretty much over the last year and a half, has been... he's been back. He's been a solid pitcher. The strikeouts have come back, which is very encouraging. So I'm in on Verlander again. Don't expect, say, the same ERA, but he's going to give you the 200 innings and 200 strikeouts.
Yeah, because you said it's true. Like, the second half of 2015 is really you start to see him start to round back into form. And like you said, going back to being a top 10 pitcher. So, yeah, Verlander's a fantasy ace. Still is at 34 years old.
Yeah, I mean, last year was one of his best seasons. I mean, from the All-Star break on, he was one of the best pitchers in the game. Actually, pretty much from, like, you break it down to, like, May or so, he was really on fire.
Corey, do you think it's repeatable again for Justin Verlander?
Yeah, I think Verlander has the stuff. I think he can get it done second time, in back-to-back seasons. He's basically been doing it his whole career, so why not now?
So you have no problem drafting him as a fantasy ace still? Number one.
I don't. I would want somebody else, but I don't. If you know, I'm not saying he's a consolation prize, but you know, I would want one of the surer and younger guys to be my ace. To be honest with you, but I don't have. If I'm in that situation, depends on how I'm building a team. I had no problem with Verlander.
I mean, I understand Corey's hesitation, because I mean, Verlander isn't 28 years old anymore.
No, yeah, I like young players.
You know, but the thing that I like about Verlander is he struggled mightily for a time, and he reinvented himself.
He fought back. I like that.
He fought back, and the velocity returned as well. And I mean, so that's a guy that knows how to pitch. He's been through the battles, and it's kind of like what Felix needs to do, besides getting some velocity up, is reinvent himself as well. And go through that next stage. And Verlander did it successfully. Like I said, I expect his numbers to pull back a little, but I'm still projecting over 200 innings.
Let me ask you this, Matt. Rank these three. Verlander, Archer, and Sale.
I have Sale one out of that group, and pretty much I have Verlander and Archer back-to-back.
Okay, so it's same. What about Cueto?
Cueto, I would have in front of Verlander and Archer, and right behind
Sale.
All
right.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I think that's fair. By the way, we talked about the Cubs, of course, defense with Kyle Hendricks and Jake Arrieta. John Lester, John Lackey, both also in the top 10 in BABIP last year, luck-wise, showing you, as you were just saying, Matt, the defense behind him is so important. All four of those Cubs pitchers make the cut because maybe that defense really is that good.
Well, I'll say one thing about Lester. I think he's still going to be good. I put out a tweet the other day. I'm going to believe that he's going to throw 200 innings until he doesn't, and somebody cracked a joke about that. But what I expect from Lester in 2017 is more towards his 2015 season. I mean, I don't think he's going to have, like, he had something like over 80% left on base. His numbers will come back as well, but it's another guy that's going to still be very good, give you the innings, give you the strikeouts, and he's on like the best team in baseball, so that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. All right, take a break. Come back. Now, the unluckiest pitchers in baseball. Luck of the Irish, St. Patrick's Day. We roll on right after this. Those were the luckiest pitchers in baseball. But what about the unluckiest pitchers in baseball? That's what we get into next. And, of course, number one is the guy we talk about literally every day on this show, Modica. Because you love him.
I mean, it's not that I love him. Well, I just
kind of love him.
I think there's so many good possibilities for him. He's a guy that could really... He's only 25 years old. That's the other thing.
Talk about Robbie Ray, by the way.
Robert Ray. Amen. And but he's also a guy that I'm not taking on like every team. I have to have my rotation construction has to be where he fits it, because if he doesn't make those corrections, he's really going to hurt you as well.
Corey, you know Robbie Ray?
Yeah, I like Robbie Ray. I think Robbie Ray's a good pitcher somewhere a little bit, you know, as probably was it you say about Matt about that SP3.
I'd want him as like an SP4
or 5.
Yeah. Even later than that, huh?
Yeah, he's got to go a little. I'm saying I want to have a foundation four. Where yeah. I could either absorb a little Robbie Ray, and if he's not good, I have to move on, or somebody that I could have as I could put in on certain matchups, and then if he really makes that step, I could insert him full-time into the
lineup. He got a lot of strikeouts.
He had as many as Noah Syndergaard.
Yeah.
The strikeout, K per 9, of course, over 11. This is why people like Robbie Ray, right? The strike, K to 9, over 11. The FIP and XFIP, a full point under where his ERA was. He let up a lot of home runs last year.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He's batting at 352, the highest in baseball. All these numbers say, listen, things are going to turn around for the better in 2017. Kind of the opposite of Marco Estrada. Well, not kind of. Exactly the opposite of Marco Estrada. Someone that got super lucky last year and the year before that, while Robbie Ray got, you know, super unlucky. Now, can all of these things turn around? Maybe. Are we going to count on them to? Probably not.
You know, there is risk with Robbie Ray. That's why I don't think he should be on all your teams. He's not a guy that I would, you know, just be loading up with blindly. And, I mean, everything that you mentioned about the strikeouts that there is to like, I mean, his swing and strike percentage is 11.6. I mean, anything over 11 I'm really interested in. But the problem on the flip side, not to get too deep, is his first pitch strike. You're looking for 60% or better, and he's at 55%. That's a problem. You know, once you start putting people on base... In that ballpark, you're giving up home runs. That's where you get hurt, and you know he's been given. He got hit hard last year.
Hey, what do you think about a guy like this in Robbie Ray in DFS?
Well, I mean,
it's a lot of strikeouts. That's good for DFS.
It's a lot of strikeouts, but and you need to get runs, though, you need to get that win too. I mean, Robbie Ray is a guy that's pitching like five innings.
Yeah,
I mean, he's striking out 10, but he's doing it in 5 innings.
Yeah, and then it's you know, 17
so
home runs.
He wouldn't be. I mean, I'm no DFS expert, but he wouldn't be a guy off the top of my head. I mean, look, if he's pitching at San Diego, hell yeah, but pretty much everybody else is going to be
on him
grabbing,
too.
Robbie Ray too, so. Mm.
Can't never get an advantage.
No, he can't. Which leads us, of course, to Michael Pineda. Same
I love
thing.
Michael Pineda.
We've talked a lot about him as well because he's a guy that all the peripherals said he's going to be good. He strikes a ton of guys. He strikes a ton of guys out. His stuff is awesome. Blah blah blah. But he can't get the last out, right? And the BABIP sits 339 against him, and he was just got so unlucky, so unlucky. But he gets unlucky every year because this is now this is consistent.
Yeah,
I mean, from a metric standpoint, it's everything. When you take that deep dive, it just looks so beautiful. Let's call Michael Pineda to tie into the holiday. He's the anti-leprechaun. He's just bad luck.
Yeah.
I mean, he just oozes. Like instead of getting gold coins, you're getting pennies thrown at you or something.
If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any at all.
But I mean, I don't think Papa Parsons is
intricate thinker.
Michael Pineda to me is a guy that you still can't walk away from.
No, you can't.
I'm not, and just like Robbie Ray, I wouldn't say invest in on every team, but on certain teams where you have that strong foundation, you know, the problem is, as we spoke about yesterday, is when you draft guys like this, a Robbie Ray or a Pineda, do you have the discipline to cut bait at some point? That's the
That's what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we talked about yesterday. All these peripherals are saying that he's going to be good. He's going to be good. Wait it out. Wait it out. Wait it out. And you can only wait so long, Corey.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. And the thing about Pineda is if he can just get the ERA down some and start to get some wins, he'd be all right.
Well,
he can really, you know, what was that thing you were telling me earlier? Like, he can earn such amount of money. Like, mm-hmm. If Pineda can just make a couple of small adjustments, he can earn a lot of fantasy value. You know what I mean?
It's the ballpark that's really not conducive to Michael Pineda. I mean, the home run percentage, I mean, home run to fly ball is like 15%, 17%. And when he doesn't finish that guy off, and he makes that mistake, or he leaves it too much over the plate, he's getting punished for it.
Yeah,
and that's really the one thing that I can take away, because I mean, he's a guy that's been getting hit. The BABIP the last two seasons, you know, he's pitched 116 innings or more, is 332, hey, 339.
Why wasn't he invited to the WBC?
I don't know how that shakes out.
Yeah, I'm just curious. You know. I'm like, he's from Dominican Republic. He's good.
Maybe he didn't. He declined it. Maybe he declined it.
Maybe so, yeah. Maybe Joe Girardi was like, no.
Maybe.
You got to stay here and work on your own stuff.
Maybe. It's possible. No doubt about that.
But then if I was Pineda, I would want to go chill with my homeboys.
Well, sure. But you got to go make money. I mean, you're a free agent after this year. You got a lot on the line here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Colin McHugh is the next guy, and this is a guy I do not like. Now,
I know. I wonder how he feels about you.
He's like, that damn Sussman.
That Sussman holiday bacon. I can't take it.
McHugh's BABIP last year was 330. 8 K per 9, 8.6 ERAs at 4.34. XFIP and FIP a little bit lower than that. Are you in, gentlemen, on Colin McHugh?
You got to get healthy first, right?
Yeah, he's had the dead arm issue in the spring. Oh. I remember him as a Met pitcher, and I was like, you know, he was pretty much a retread. I think we traded him to Colorado a couple of years back for Eric Young Jr., and I was like, wow, this is a great trade. And then the Astros got their hand on him, and, you know, the resurgence he saw with his secondary pitches, I mean, the slider, the curveball, that's where he's really been able to thrive on. And last year, I did buy into Colin McHugh, and I, you know, he was disappointing. There's no doubt about that. There are some signs, though, that you really can't ignore. He still has to get healthy, and there's going to be a lot of competition in the Astros rotation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys looking to grab hold of that. But, I mean, last year, I mean, a first pitch strike of 67%. That's, you know, pretty damn elite. And, you know, he got the swing and strike rate almost 11%. So those are two. When I see 65% and anything just about 11% with those two numbers, I'm pretty excited. Colin McHugh, I'm really not that excited about, especially with the dead arm issue. But he's somebody that, you know, he's going late anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe I take the shot.
Dollar make you holler. I want to see a little bit. I want to see some more health, you know, some more positive signs in his health. He's got a pitcher in the minor league game this weekend. They're gonna get him 3 innings. So hopefully, as we start to see the health build, we'll have a better view of what we can do with Mr. McHugh. And
well, between him and Mike Flores, this might present the opportunity
Joe
that
Musgrove.
Many people, the Joe Musgrove era might begin.
I hope so, man. You know I'm a Musgrove guy. All right, Noah Syndergaard is next, which is crazy because Noah Syndergaard was like the best pitcher in baseball last year. 14-9 on the year. The BABIP was 334. His ERA was still 2.60, and it's scary to think he could have been even better. I don't know what to take of this other than that Noah Syndergaard is really, really good.
Yeah, this seems to me to be more fluky than anything. I mean, his hard hit average was below the league average. I mean, it was at like 28%. I mean, there's not really stuff. I mean, maybe you got to blame it on the Mets defense. You know, pretty much I'd have to give them some blame. I mean, the guy got over 51% ground balls. That's pretty awesome. Almost 11 K per nine, just over 2 in the walks per nine. I mean, this kid is on the verge. To me, he's on the verge of being the best pitcher in baseball, but there is also that one little thing you got to worry about because he's such a max velocity guy.
Right.
That, you know, the arm could blow out at some point.
Oh, knock on wood.
I mean,
even as a Met, I don't want that to happen to nobody.
No, you know, Noah Syndergaard, obviously you're drafting him as an ace. I don't know, there's not really much left to say about Syndergaard.
Nah, he's a beast,
exactly.
He should have been in WBC.
He should have been in WBC. He chose not to go because he said he didn't care.
He said he's a Met.
That's what I wish people would do. Like, if I was, like, if they was, like, you say I was a baseball player and they was to invite me, I would go.
Would you?
Yeah.
Represent your country?
Yeah, no doubt. I would be like,
I'm,
yeah, sure.
I'm just not a man. I'm not American.
Yeah, I would go. I would go out there. I'd be like, yeah, let's do it, boys. Let's go.
And you go get drunk with Jose Bautista?
Hmm?
Then you go get drunk with Jose Bautista?
Probably so. Yeah. I would, if we was in the same city, you know what I mean? I would like, let's go chill. But if he was all that talking he does, I'd rock him just like Odor. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I got hands too, Jose. You don't want no trouble.
That's funny.
Too.
Two more guys we want to get to, and then he's Mike Lyon, of course, coming up. It is Friday. So, Matt, you have Adam Wainwright and Carlos Rodon, right? Two guys. And Wainwright is a bit of a divisive one, where a lot of people love Adam Wainwright and a lot of people hate Adam Wainwright. Now, we talked earlier to Derek. We talked to Derek earlier this week. He's a big Wainwright guy. Tony Sincotta, on the other hand, hates Wainwright, wants nothing to do with him. Where are you on Adam Wainwright this year?
Wainwright's a guy that I really wasn't on initially. I'm on him now. I mean, not somebody I'm reaching for in any way, but he's a guy that, and credit to Derek Pearson, he was one of the guys that did put me on him. I kept seeing him drafting him, so I'm like, you know, what the hell? He did have a big difference in ERA FIP. So I mean, I think this is a guy that, as was stated, can, you know, the thing is, reading up on him, the curveball's back, he's working on that changeup, so now he's adding that pitch back into his repertoire to changeup. If the curveball is back to previous levels or close to it, that's a major boom for his stock, and like I said, major competitor. So he's a guy that I'm not going to reach for, but I'm not afraid to take.
The last, he did a little spring training thing, he got his two strikeouts was on his curveball, so he was like, he was happy to see that, and that's a part of his arsenal that he needs to get going.
One of the major reasons I was in on Adam Wainwright last year is because, Corey, we talked to him, and he basically was like, yeah, if people are doubting me, boom, take me, and I will not let you down. And how do I not take a guy then?
He
definitely was believing in himself, but unfortunately,
he was upset about that. Remember, he was listening to that draft, and he was like, yeah. Oh, word, I'm like 78th pitcher going off the board.
What about Carlos?
I'll show you how bad I can be. Give me the ball.
What about Carlos Rodon? Playing for Chicago, of course, and they are treating him with kid gloves in the spring. Really, really slowly working him out, getting him ready for the season. They do not want him to tire down. Rodon got unlucky, and he's still very, very young. I know people are off of him because of last year. They expected big things. It didn't happen. Now people are off of him. Are we getting back on the Carlos Rodon train?
He's another guy that's the roster construction from rotation construction for me. I mean, I like Rodon. I knocked him down a couple pegs because, I don't know, he was complaining about something with the arm. It's not something I want to hear. I think at some point the kid is going to – everything's going to come together for him, put it that way. Is 2017 the season? I'm not 100% sure of that. Would I mind having him in my rotation? No, I would not. And as I mentioned the other day, he was, as I believe, the leader in strikes that were called balls last season. So hopefully this season they have a better...
That sounds unlucky.
Yes, that does sound unlucky. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this season he has a better framing behind the plate, which can really help him, and that would definitely give a nice boost to his
stuff.
I think
he's got a simulated game coming up, so that should be fun. No, it should be. That should be cool.
Yeah, no, that's one of the reasons I like knocked him down a little. I mean, I still do like him. I see the potential. I'm just not sure everything that maybe it's not 2017. It could be, but maybe it's not. So I'm a little hesitant.
I would like to go. When do they do these simulated games? like before the fans get there and stuff, like a day off?
Well, they have like a practice park and
stuff. Oh, that's not like, like, they don't do that. Yeah. They don't do that City Field.
Yeah, no, it's not like it's not even like wherever the. Wherever the what do you call wherever they're playing their minor league their spring training games. I'll have like a little side practice field.
Okay, and they go out there and have a simulated game. Oh, okay. You can't there's not tickets. Tickets are not available for simulated games.
No, you can't buy tickets for simulated
games. I'm so intrigued by the simulated game.
Why are you so intrigued by it? Go watch a real game.
Because no, but it's like he's out there and like it's like make believe. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, it's not make believe, it's just it's set up.
Yeah, but you still,
know,
you know.
Situations are set up.
It's like wrestling.
Yeah, it's like wrestling.
It's like wrestling.
It's like wrestling.
We love wrestling.
Yeah.
So.
How about that?
How about that? Speaking of wrestling, my Stone Cold Steve Austin, it was his day yesterday.
Yeah.
Today, it's Mike Florio's day. He's in green for St. Patrick's Day.
That's right.
And we are playing Is Mike Lyon next here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Final half hour of the week here on the Roto Experts. And that means it is time for Is Mike Lyon. What's up, Florio?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I mean, you know, I'm a little sad, but that's okay.
Sorry,
why are you
Greg.
Sad, Greg?
What do you think?
Oh, yeah, them Terps lost. So, hey, Florio, relax.
We didn't even talk about this, guys. Who's your survivor pick today, Corey?
Oh, I got to look that up and see.
You got to do that.
I got to do that before 12 o'clock, too.
Jeez, man.
I'm all over the place.
You're all over the place.
Well, you know, I'm trying to keep everything situated. Yesterday was a wild day. Anything that could have went wrong yesterday kind of did go wrong. But everything is doing good now. So by the time we go off the air, I have my survivor pick for the day.
All right, you let me know who it is.
Yep.
All right.
24 minutes of count.
24 minutes of counting. All right, Mike Florio, who is our defending champion?
Like every week, it is Corey Parson.
But this week, it actually is Corey Parson, for the record. He won last week. It was a perfect game. It was fantastic.
He had 14 points, I believe, on 12 questions.
God, he's good. Corey, can you do it again?
Yeah, I'm trying my best.
All right.
It's going to be tough today. Last week we did a lot of football, right?
Yes.
Last week was a lot of football. I have a feeling that's not going to happen again because it is now time for a St. Patrick's Day edition of Is Mike Lyon. What's up, Mikey?
Nothing, guys. Question number one.
Oh, wait, I apologize. Corey, when do you want to go?
I want to go second.
I want to go second, which means Matt Modica is up first.
Since the NCAA tournament started in 1939, less than 30 teams have won the championship.
Ooh.
False.
This is a good question.
This is a great first question. I'm in on that.
I'm going to go less than 30 teams in...
Since 1939.
I'm going to go true.
I'm going to go true also. I think that's a crazy stat. I'll go true.
Matt Modica's on the board.
Oh, look at Matt Modica. Got his first...
first one right.
First one right.
One for one. What's going on? What was the deal there?
35 teams have won it.
35 teams. We were close, man. We were close with that 30. Nevertheless, Matt Modica takes a 1-0 lead.
Chris Davis led all qualified outfielders in home runs over the past two seasons.
That's a K, Chris Davis, Corey.
Yes.
Oh, that is false.
Chris Davis, over the last 2 years, led all qualifying outfielders in home runs. That is your question. And I will say that it's true.
I'm going to say true as well.
It is false.
Damn it. Over two.
Guys who have more than Chris Davis' 69 home runs.
Two guys that have more in the 69 home runs. Does like Mark Trumbo count as an outfielder?
He does.
Is that right?
He is tied with Chris Davis.
God damn it!
Literally as close as you can get without getting the point.
All right, Modica?
Okay, give me 1 second.
Gotta give me somebody.
Yeah, I'm stumped.
Oh, you just name somebody. You have nothing to lose.
It's time to pass.
Well, yeah, pass.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I agree.
Nelson Cruz.
That is number one.
Corey Parson.
There you go, right
this
there.
This is how he wins games, folks. Yep. There's one more guy. I don't know. What about, like, I have no idea, in all honesty. Mike Trout?
Yes.
Oh! Look at that. You just have to name like the number one player.
That's the name of the one. That's all I did. All right. So now I believe the score.
70 home runs. The score is Corey 2, Greg and Matt 1.
Okay. That was big for me.
They're still hanging around.
That was big for me. All right. Question number 3 is mine first.
Gerrit Cole had the lowest home run to fly ball rate amongst all qualified starters. This was one of the ones I had to change. I had questions about stuff that you guys spoke about already on the show.
Well, this is good. It's a nice job on Mike Flora being able to change on the fly.
Impressive. Did a good job with that.
This question is impossible. Gerrit Cole had the lowest home run to fly ball ratio of all qualified starters. Is that the question here?
That is the question.
I will go with... true. Yeah.
I will say false.
Oh, man. I did seem confident there.
I'm going to say false.
Greg ties the game.
Oh!
Whoa!
Sussmania.
Rodriguez was so confident.
Well, I didn't think Cole was qualified. That's the problem.
No. Just so you know, I'll never say someone who doesn't qualify, because I feel
that's tricky.
Yeah, that's like kind of Bush League, I think. So Cole apparently was qualified. I was surprised about that, too.
Well, how many innings did he pitch last year?
Wow.
That's a question.
Wow.
I don't think he qualified.
Wow, Medica calling you out.
Wait, he might be right, actually.
Whoa!
He only had 116 innings.
That
That's
was
why
over
I was
the
so
past
confident.
Two seasons. I'm sorry. I worded the question wrong.
I'm not going to quit you.
I still got it right. They got it wrong. Let's move on. Question number 4 from Matt Medica.
According to UberFacts, dogs know how to deceive and trick humans into giving them treats.
That would be true as a dog owner.
That's funny. This is a good one. I don't have a dog. That's true.
True.
Yeah, this is true. And I believe it. I've seen my dogs do some stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, they know.
I get, please.
Oh, yeah. They know. Question number 5 to Corey Parson.
Coach K is the oldest coach to win a national championship.
Ooh. Coach Katz makes a chef. He coaches Duke.
In case Scott didn't know. Is my question?
Yes.
Oh, that sucks that this is my question. The oldest coach to win the tournament. Oh, man, I can't think
at the time when they won, of course.
At the time
of course.
Of victory. I'm going to this is a tough call right here, because I think it's either one or three people, Coach K being one of those people. Yeah, you know what? This is false.
This is hard, because I got another guy in mind also that I think it could be. But Coach K, I feel like we don't realize how old he is, because he dyes his hair and it looks so nice. You know, it's just so
just for men.
Yeah.
He should be on those commercials.
Yeah, but he doesn't want anyone to know he dyes his hair. I think it's... I'm going to go with false.
I'm going to say false. I think it's Jerry Tarkanian, but I'm going to say false.
That's a good call.
It is false.
Okay.
He was the second oldest. There's one guy who did it older.
Now, Corey went first. Corey.
What is this dude's name? Can I use the Google?
No.
I want to make sure. I want to make sure that I got his name right, because I'm going to go with him, but I'm not sure what his name is.
So you can't go with him then if you don't know his name.
Darn it.
So are you passing?
No, I'm not passing. Matt already said...
He did say that person. Now you're going to steal his answer.
He already said Jerry Tarkanian, but that's not my answer.
Okay.
I'm going to go... Is his name Gunther Cunningham?
No, Gunther Cunningham is a football coach.
So his name is Bill Gunther.
I don't know who that is, and that is not...
Shucks. What is that dude's name?
I don't know what you're talking about. I will go with Dean Smith.
No. Okay. That's a good guess, though.
Jim Boeheim?
No.
Oh, Boeheim was...
You didn't go with Tarkanian after all that?
Yeah, no. Well,
I thought Tarkanian was...
He didn't say that. We'll go around one more time. Okay. Corey.
Oh, okay. I gotta get off, because
get
I
off
know
the Google.
I know this guy's. I can't think of his name. Oh, shucks.
What school?
North Carolina.
Dean Smith. I said that already.
It's not Dean Smith. The coach after Dean Smith.
Coach Atherton Smith was Matt Daugherty.
No, it wasn't. It was a coach before Matt Daugherty, between really? Smith and Matt Daugherty.
And he won a national championship.
He was an older gentleman.
I could stop this debate by saying that is not the answer.
Okay, good.
Okay. All right, so you done? Are you passing it? Not guessing again?
No, I'm not, that was my guess.
All right, I'll guess John Wooden.
No, but I feel like Greg is going to know it once I say it.
Oh, I have another answer,
Roy
too.
Williams?
That's not Roy Williams.
Not Roy Williams. Gary Williams, I was going to say.
Oh.
That would have been crazy.
I would have lost my mind. All right, so we all went around twice, so this doesn't count anymore. I have one more guess. It won't count, though, Floria.
Okay.
Lute Olson?
No, Jim Calhoun.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Final championship with UConn.
Oh. I was going to say Bill Guthridge is that coach that was between Daugherty.
You're right there.
Yeah.
But Coach K is the second oldest, and if he wins another one now, he will become the oldest.
All right, good. That was a good stat. What is the score, Michael?
4-4-3. Matt with 3D.
Yeah, obviously. All right. Final break of the week, and we wrap up. Is Mike Lyon coming up next? Final few minutes of the week here on the Roto Expert in the morning. Tournament just 2 hours away. Two and a half hours away, technically.
Oh, I got my guys.
Oh, who are you picking?
Oh, my survivor team today is the Cincinnati Bearcats.
I like the Cincinnati Bearcats today, too. I like Cincinnati. It's a good pick. All right. We begin. Question number 6. That's my question. I'm tied for the lead. Here we go.
Corey, I don't know if you're going to like this one or not. John Gray led all qualified starters in ERA minus FIP.
This is a tough one right here because I don't even know.
What? ERA minus? Is that a thing?
So, yeah, that means is that his ERA was... There was the biggest differential between his ERA and his FIP.
Okay.
I was trying to go with the luck theme.
I appreciate it. No, I got you.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
Okay, so now I understand.
Well, you guys use BABIP, so I had to change the BABIP ones.
I understand. So the biggest difference between ERA and FIP, you're saying, is John Gray? Is that the... Okay. I'm going to say it's false. Matt?
False.
False.
Matt was very confident. Is false.
Yes.
So was Greg.
I knew that was
Greg was confident too. Greg answered before Matt did.
Me too.
There's two guys with more. Do you guys want to guess?
Yeah, we'll guess it. Oh, no, Matt, there's an order here. Please. All right. ERA minus FIP. So these guys got lucky or unlucky?
No, this is guys who are unlucky.
Okay. These guys are unlucky.
If it was like a negative, it would be lucky. I didn't include that.
Okay, cool. Was it any of the guys we spoke about today on the show?
I feel like I cannot answer that.
Damn it. All right, fair enough. I'll go with Robbie Ray.
That is number one in the league.
Boom.
That was good.
Boom. Modica?
Aaron Nola?
No.
Corey?
This is qualified starters, by the way, so Nola, it may have been a case of innings.
Matt Harvey.
He didn't qualify.
No, he sucked.
He did not qualify, I don't think.
I'll go with Michael Pineda.
2-for-2.
Oh, I just went down the BABIP, baby! You guys weren't smart enough for that. Greg.
Well, you took Robbie Ray. It was all geared up for that.
You could have chosen Pineda.
They're kind of like the AL and NL versions of each other.
Correct. 100%. All right. Question number 7 with Greg having a commanding 2-point lead right now.
Bob Knight is the only person to win a tournament as both a player and a coach.
Great question, Florio.
Mix it up a little.
I like it. I'm enjoying. These are very good questions today. You're doing a hell of a job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Matt?
I'm going to say false.
I am also going to say false.
False.
It is false. Two others, according to the site that I was using, have
done the same. Yes, how about that?
Matt? Can you name a coach that's done it? Or player? Coach slash player.
Won it as both, yes.
Won it as
two other guys.
Coach K?
No.
Mm-hmm.
He was not on the list.
He played for Bobby Knight at Army.
Yep. Rick Pitino.
No.
Good guess, though. Oh, come on.
That was a good guess.
Ooh. I like you going with the Italian, though.
So it's 1-1 as a player and 1-1 as a coach, right?
Yes.
Oh, man. The guy I was going to say is just wrong, which is frustrating. I will go with Larry Brown.
Larry Brown.
No.
It's not a bad guess, though. I love Larry Brown.
Larry Brown won the NBA one and a college one.
Larry Brown was a good one.
All right. Let's go around one more time. Madika.
I can give you guys a clue. I've only heard of one of these guys.
Is that person active? You can tell us that.
The one that I know?
Yes.
No. The other one, I have no idea.
Okay. Okay. Madika? It's tough.
This is a tough one.
Tough question.
Here.
I like it, though.
Okay. His name slips him, but the coach.
Oh, I got. I think I know one. Jay Wright, you're saying?
That's insane.
Jay Wright.
No.
Okay. I think I know it. Maybe.
I know who Jay Wright is, though.
So. Yeah.
I think I know the answer.
Let's
go. The one you know. I feel it.
I'm going to go with.
I hope Corey isn't in. I'll be upset.
Oh no, that's not. It's not him. Because he never played. He never won it as a coach either. So it's got to be somebody a little bit long in the tooth.
I love that expression, by the way.
Long
status is status.
Joe Galina had to explain that one to me on one show once.
Yeah, I'm going to need him to explain it to me also.
Papa Parsons?
No, he didn't get that one to me. I don't know. I can't think.
Steve Passon?
I'm Gary Williams.
No, it's not Gary Williams.
No,
Billy Donovan.
No, that's a good guess.
Oh, I really thought
that
it was Billy Donovan.
That was a good guess.
Damn. Right, what's the answer, Florio?
Dean Smith.
Oh.
And Joe B. Hall.
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either.
All right. Question number 8, Corey Parson.
According to UberFacts,
yeah,
a normal person would have to train for over 25 years to be as skilled as Batman.
That's Corey's first. Corey?
False.
False.
I gotta shake it up, so I'm gonna go true.
It is false. Apparently, you'd only have to train for 15 to 18 years.
Idiot. Question number 9.
I wonder how they figured that out, though.
I don't know how you figured that out.
Number 9. The average margin of victory in the NCAA championship games since 2000 is less than 10 points.
True.
I'm gonna go true as well.
Corey?
True.
It is true. 8.41 is the average margin of victory.
There you go.
A lot of close games.
Yeah, it's a tournament. It's awesome. All right, question number 10. This is a final question. What is the scores currently, Michael Florio?
Matt, 6.
Okay.
Greg, 9.
Yes.
Corey, 8. Although I feel bad because I kind of bungled the wording of that one question.
It's okay.
It's all right.
It's okay. Wait, are you sure? I'm only 1 point up. I should be 2 points up, shouldn't I? I got those 2 bonus ones right before.
Let's keep it.
Yeah, but then you got one wrong and Corey got one right, I believe.
No, that did not happen.
Okay, then I guess it's Greg 10.
Thank you. I don't like you changing the scoring on me. That's ridiculous.
Sorry.
The final question. I'm up 2 points on Corey Parson. I'm pretty sure Modica's been eliminated. All right, the final question, Michael.
John Gray had the lowest strand rate in the league. Qualified pitchers, of course.
Modica.
Correct.
True. Corey.
True.
False.
Greg just sealed it.
Ah, son of a gun.
Because there's 2 people higher, but even if Corey was to get both of them, he would be a point behind.
We can do it for fun.
Yeah, like 66% or something.
66.4%.
Jesus, you're good, Modica. who had a higher strand rate, though?
I'll say...
Well, lower
strand rate. I'm sorry. Right.
A lot of people had higher.
Yeah.
I give up on.
Jeez, you're not very fun today, Corey.
They're not like they're guys that you know, but they're not like
good.
I guess I would describe them as not good.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's go.
Fringy fantasy pitchers, maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, thanks. I don't.
One guy would get drafted higher than the other, I would say.
I pass.
Jeez, you're out of it. You're not guessing anymore.
Dude, Greg, I know you hate one of these two guys, too.
I hate one of them.
At least you did at one point in time.
Hector Santiago?
No, I did not know you hated him.
I don't hate him. I just thought that was the answer.
Oh, okay.
I don't hate Hector Santiago. Who's the answer? Because clearly they don't want to guess anymore.
Ricky Nolasco?
Edison Volquez?
Yeah.
And Mike Leek.
Yeah, I did hate Mike Leek, that bastard. Oh, yeah, that was doable. All right. Which means your winner and new is Mike Lyon champion, me.
Congratulations, Greg.
Thank
you. Totally you redeemed it from Maryland.
I think so,
yes,
too.
Yes, you did.
I think so, too. What do you got going on this weekend, Modica?
We let you win.
Some college basketball today, Saturday night, probably a little date night with the wife.
Nice.
And Sunday night draft at 8 o'clock.
Ooh, is it a big draft?
It's a draft champions. It'll probably be 50 rounds consecutive, so it'll be a lot of coffee and a lot of...
That sounds exhausting. Exhausting.
It is.
That's Sunday night?
Sunday night.
What are you going to be... How are you gonna wake up the next day? Or not?
Right. I'll be up.
Corey, what do you got going on this weekend?
Oh, I'm just laying low. Nothing really spectacular going on this weekend. I'll be WBC... NCAA, nothing much.
Whole lot of madness for me. Up next, the OGs of fantasy. Scott Angle, Corey Parson, and George Kurtz. I'm Greg Sussman from Matt Bodega and Corey Parson. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the madness. And we'll see you back here Monday morning at 8 a.m. Bye-bye.